Thank you, brother. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. I am Pastor Vince. If you need a Bible this morning, raise your hand and our usher will get one to you. If you do not have a Bible so you can track with us as we journey through Acts, raise your hand and we'll get one. Anybody need one? Everybody's locked and loaded. Okay. Good. Sweet. We like it. Grateful to gather this morning, and let's go to our King in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, that we get to do this, that we get to come together, that we get to worship you, that we get to see one another and have sweet fellowship, and Lord, that now we get to feast on your word. Lord Jesus, I echo the words of my brother. I pray, help us all to prepare our hearts for what you desire to speak to us this day through the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray, give us ears to hear. Lord, help us to be open to how you would speak. And Lord Jesus, I pray that where you bring conviction, Father God, we would tarry in prayer with that to be doers, Lord, to embrace the refining by you, Holy Father. Lord, where you encourage, we would embrace it. Everything that you want to do in and through us, Lord, we wouldn't stay in the way. Lord, as we sang, we would surrender. And Holy Father, with where we are in Acts this morning, Lord, I pray that you would remind us of the necessity to simply preach Jesus, the necessity to anchor to the truth and the word of God alone. Holy Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Draw them closer unto you. And Lord, I pray for those who are here and do not know you, mighty King, that today may be the day they surrender all and their name would be added in the book of life. Father, we ask all this in the name above all other names, the only name by which salvation comes, the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we gather this morning, one thing that would be remiss to not take a gander at, because in our culture, we can kind of, at this point now, become numb to news headlines. You know, we see a different thing that takes place, and it's just kind of, okay, just another day in our world. And last night, there was a shooting that took place at the conference, the correspondence dinner that was supposed to take place, and it was interesting. The timing for me personally of looking into that, I was thinking of earlier in the day when we were in downtown Hillsboro, and there were a bunch of folks protesting about our president, about our country, and whatnot. And my wife and I, we saw that, and we were quickly gathering with another senior pastor and his bride to meet together and pray for the services today. And it was an interesting moment because it was kind of just that realization, they need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And it's not just one side or the other. Everybody right now needs Jesus. And we need to simply preach Jesus because it's just divide, 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 divide. And then what was interesting is get home and I'm still thinking about that. I'm thinking of where we're going to be in Acts and praying. And then I said, I wonder if anything's even going on. What, you know, I haven't Googled Trump of late. And then I get on and look, and it was moments right after what had taken place. And I just looked and then saw a video clip of him and his wife and folks being evacuated out. And then another clip was circulating of Erica Kirk, who was there and hiding under a table and emotional. I said, okay, I wonder what the different backlash is going to be. What are the different conspiracy theories going to be that come about this? What are the different things that are going to be espoused? What is mob mentality going to say today? That's where I landed. And as we look at that, I think of what took place earlier this week. I think of the America Reads Through the Bible, which was an interesting thing. I don't know if you knew what was going on. The Museum of the Bible for the week, they had a read-through of the Bible, and President Trump read 2 Chronicles 7:14, and my prayer was that it would pierce his heart unto salvation, to pierce it. Like, get in there, man. Don't just read it as a stunt. But at the end of the day, it was powerful to see that the word's going forth. And that's an exciting thing. I don't know, for myself growing up, I'm 40 now, I don't remember a time where there was a looking in the news, they're reading through the whole Bible? Whoa! And we see when the Lord is moving, when the Spirit is moving, the enemy moves. And we're going to be looking in our text, and we have to take our text in the context of where we are in this chapter 19. And I find it the Lord's sovereign timing to just be reminded of mob mentality today. And in it, I want to be clear that we're not looking at this. We're not going in this text to try to pick, let's be this team, let's be this team, let's be Team Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we be Team Jesus and then we just sit on our sides as society decays. That is also not what that means, because some people distort that idea. But when I say Team Jesus, let's live for the King, let's live for the glory of God, and let's give this world Jesus. Let's actually be about it. Praise the Lord. Last night, we had another outreach. We had some folks who haven't gone out before. Folks who I personally, as their pastor, have been praying, get them out there. And they went. Praise the Lord. We rejoice in what the Lord is doing. And we need to dig deeper, and we need to keep going and praying for that. Now, I want to cycle through to just conceptualize where we're going to be in our text to our cultural society. So can you first actually put up 1 Peter 5:8? Because with everything we're going to look at, I want to remind us of this verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have to remember that. Because when we look at these things, we can start to make it about people. And we have to remember, I like to say, reality or duality. God, Satan. You're either all for the Lord or you're serving the enemy. There's no gray. There's gray t-shirts. There's gray sweaters. There's no gray in the walking with the Lord. So we're going to cycle through a few different pictures. Can you put up protest one? And we're just going to look at these. And this just conceptualizes different riots, different protests that have taken place in our culture. Can you put number two up? It's not about free speech. It's about bigots trying to normalize hate. Number three. This is local. Number four. Christians at Pride. Can you put number five? Number six. And number seven. When you look at this, if we let the flesh win, we want to pick a side. You want to start wagging your finger at people. When I look at these, I see lifestyles. I see people looking for a lifestyle. I see people looking for an identity. I see people looking for a purpose. See people looking for something that I can be a part of. I can do this. And in this last one, I see too how truth, way, truth, and life, compromise has crept in. Shifting has crept in. But in it all, I see again the struggle of my way versus Yahweh. That's the ultimate thing that we're looking at. It's the struggle of my way versus Yahweh. And I ask if, because if you looked at some of these and you started doing the kind of the, oh, that, no, pray for your heart. Because I think part of why we are where we are is because the church just gets just as politicized. We need to be biblical. So when we look at this, when we see this, we got to pray, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. And then we got to say, hey, this world needs Jesus. This world needs the only hope that there is, the only equalizer that there is, the only unifier that there is. So I had a cycle through those. You can put that one down. I have a cycle through that just to give us conceptually the application of where we're going in our text today. Because we're going to finish chapter 19. We might start the beginning of chapter 20, pending time, but we're going to finish chapter 19 for sure, Lord willing. And we're going to see that context-wise, what just took place. Think about where we were when we began 19. We saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We saw these 12 get baptized in the Holy Spirit. A very exciting, a very powerful moment. And it reminds us that power usually precedes persecution, because our King is so faithful that he's going to fill us with the Spirit. There's going to be an empowerment. There's going to be a working of the Lord that we're able to withstand whatever may come. Then, as we also saw last week, we saw radical repentance. We saw people taking and putting forth things that they thought were important, things that they were holding on to, and it was just, no. They remember what we saw in verse 18, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. These were ones who believed, but it was pieces they were holding on to. They put it all, and praise the Lord for the time of response that we had last week. Where within here, it was like, no, let's get rid of the things that are in the way of my intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we see those things taking place, we shouldn't be surprised then that Satan seeks the selfish. Satan's looking, he's looking around, and where's the ones that are so focused on self I can enlist to get some work done to try to hinder what the Lord God Almighty is doing. And we're going to see as we go through this text, the start, a purposing in the spirit. And the contrast of that is really the works of the flesh and what the enemy does. And we're going to be reminded as we walk through this text, the hand of God cannot be stopped. The hand of God will not be stopped. God is sovereign, and God will use whatever means, including civil authority, as we'll see in our text today, to make sure that what he said is fulfilled. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. I want to just give us a little bit of pieces for context. Can you put the map up? Again, this is just to conceptualize where we are. Remember, end of chapter 18, we finished and we're moved into 19. We're still in Ephesus. That's where we're landing today. We're going to have areas mentioned where he'll be going. He's going to basically purpose in the spirit, and boy, in that purpose of the spirit, the rest of Acts, we're going to see him get there, and he purposes to go to Rome, and it's imprisonment that brings him there. But again, we're in Ephesus right now. You can put theater one up. This is just to give you a picture of the theater that's going to be talked about where this would take place. You can put the second one up. This, again, is now ruins of what that looks like, but it just gives you an idea of what that theater looks like. And a correction from last week, I had said that it was 50,000 that could be in there. It's actually 24 to 25,000. So forgive me there, but 24 to 25,000 that would be in there. Third picture up. Again, this is what that would look like. That's what it looks like now, but this is giving us the conceptualization so you can physically see and imagine as we're looking at the text what that theater looked like. Then also, if you can put temple one up, this just gives you an idea, the temple to Diana, what that would look like. And at the time, it's one of the, you know, seven ancient wonders of the world, 322 by 180 feet. This is a huge thing. This has 127 columns that were there, 127, and they all would be 60 feet tall. And we're going to see there's such a dedication to it. There's such a steadfastness to it. Put up temple two. That's all that's left. It's kind of funny. But again, there's just conceptualizing what we're going to be walking through, what we're going to look at. And Diana, who's brought up within this text, remember, Ephesus, what we remind ourselves last year, this is an occult area. This is an area that it's no interest in the things of the Lord God Almighty. And Diana was an interesting one that they would pray to, because Diana was over the hunt, was over nature, was over the moon, was over birth. So this would be one where ultimately when they're going and when they're bickering and when they're battling, and as we're going to see, they're going to be saying, great is Diana, as they're saying this about Diana, who's this sex goddess that they're worshiping and going to. This is one who's over birth for them, who's over business. Put those things together, it's like, this is the one who's over our destiny. So we're going to see there's a reality of holding to this false deity, but it just gives us and understanding. So that's context for that. And with context laid, let's stand all together and we'll read chapter 19, and let's just read verses 21 through 24 all together. We read, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he went into Macedonia. Two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. But about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we come together, Lord, to walk through these verses, Father God, Father, I ask for a filling afresh of your Spirit. Lord, I ask that you fill me to overflowing, to give me the words that are needed for your people, Lord Jesus. Father, to just be a vessel that you speak through, a mouthpiece for your glory, Heavenly Father. That you would bring the things to remembrance that you ordain for this moment, for this time, to feed, to tend to your people. Lord, I pray that you would give us all ears to hear, myself included. And Holy Father, as my prayer has been so much in looking at this text, help us to remember, help us to return, help us to anchor in the simplicity of preaching Jesus. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Grab a seat. So we start in verse 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. So he's purposing in the Spirit, and that that passage right there reminds me of what we see in Daniel 1, chapter 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. There's a purposing that's taking place. And there's this purposing in the Spirit for Paul, and we've seen throughout the journey for Paul, what does he seek to do? Walk in the Spirit. Obey the Spirit of God. Yield to the Spirit of God. Think of Acts 16, where there's the direction he wants to go, there's what he wants to do, and the Lord forbid. The Spirit forbid. The Spirit did not permit. And in this case, there's a purposing. I'm going to get to these places, and then I'm going to go to Jerusalem, Macedonia, and Achaia. We know from the Romans and other portions of Scripture that that partially was going because he was gathering fund to bring back to the church in Jerusalem. And to bring support to them. So there's this conviction that takes place. He sends those that would go ahead of him, Timothy and Erastus, and they kind of functioned for him as assistants to a degree. It reminds us also that the one that's doing the work isn't doing it alone. I think of here, we've got the elders. I got Mike, I got Jay, we got different folks who are coming alongside Gabe to help, to serve, to support, to delve into the work that the Lord is doing. It's not just one. It takes an army to do it. And as this is taking place, we see in verse 23, and about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. This is the third time in the book of Acts we're going to see the way coming up. And we see here a great commotion about the way. Reality that we need to remember. God on the move, faith in action. Not faith in pretend, which is sadly what we see so much. Faith in action, God on the move, it's going to cause commotion. It's going to cause conflict. It's going to cause controversy. It's going to cause distress because it's like, whoa, 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 what's going on? And as we're going to see here, for men, when God's really moving, it's going to impact the culture. It's going to impact the economy. It's going to impact money. Because if people are really surrendering to the Lord, if people are really sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, what they do with what they have is going to look different. Because certain things that they maybe have gone to, like these idols, now suddenly, well, I'm not getting that. No, I'm not buying that. I don't need that. Things change. Things shift. So there's this great commotion taking place of the way. And I like the way being pointed there because it reminds us it's a relationship, it's a lifestyle, it's a way of living. Are you about the way? We take the screens here, I pick one of you, pick you, put everything that you're thinking up on the screen, is it going to reveal that it's about the way? Or maybe you're going to say, I got to go. I prefer you not do that. Is your life about the way? Do you live? Do you reflect the way? Then verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who had made shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. 1 Timothy 6:10, if you recall that, it tells us money's the roots of all sorts of evil. Notice where Demetrius starts this. Now, he's a pro mask wearer, Demetrius. He's got that good mask on that's like, my mask is fully on and fully attached and saying, I'm standing for something really good. You know, if you think of Commedia dell'arte, they had the different masks that the characters would wear. He's got the mask of a just man. I'm looking out for the interest of everyone. I've got your best interest at heart. The mask of a patriot, the mask of one thinking for all. But really, underneath, his motive comes out right away. It's a selfish motive. They're men. You know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned many people away. So it starts with, this is a money thing. I mean, he's taking away our livelihood. We all do this. We all do these wonderful little idols, these wonderful shrines to Diana that people can have. Paul is a harmful, harmful man. Bad Paul. Paul is bad. He's turning many people away. He's persuading and turning them away. And that's where mob mentality gets some of it anchor. You've got voices who are wearing these masks of justice, these masks of I'm doing something so good, and those, they're not doing anything good, and they're making people turn to such horrible things. Think of Christianity in 2026 culture. Sometimes you'll hear the buzz phrase, they're on the wrong side of history. Because, you know, the word of God that we follow, it's so antiquated, it's so old, it's not relevant. So they're on the wrong side of history. Or perhaps it's that idea, well, you know, the Bible, it's really actually got a lot of hate speech in it. It's very hateful. They're turning so many people away from loving everyone. They're just making a bunch of bigots. It's horrible. You know, our democracy is really at stake. It's at stake. Our democracy is at stake right now. Because I mean, these Christians, our democracy is at stake. You know, we need to trust the science. We need to trust culture. We need to trust science. We need to trust culture. That's what's really, really important right now. You know, it's my body. It's my choice. We've got to stand for these different things. Sadly, what I just said for the last 30 seconds is actually what's being preached at some other churches right now. That breaks my heart. But when we go through, when we see this, Demetrius is pointing to try to make it a bit of this harmfulness of Paul. He's not good. And then he goes on to say, saying that they are not gods which are not made of hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, like he's hurting our livelihood, he's hurting this craft we do, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised, her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. This is a civic duty to stand against Paul. He's destroying the very tenets of what we in Ephesus believe, what we stand for. The temple of the wonderful Diana is going to be taken. this is truth versus idols. This is pointing to profit. This is pointing to security that individuals have, all for ignoring truth. And when we think about the changes that would happen, because the reality is, yes, guess what? Folks were buying less of these shrines, less of these items. What took place at the bonfire? We gave the estimate, modern currency, it'd be between $5 to $7 million worth of stuff put into that bonfire. These guys are worried. It's their livelihood. It's, well, what are we going to do now? There's a concern there. But it's not that Paul did anything to say, okay, now you take this, you take that, you take this, and get rid of this, and you can't buy that, you can't do that. No, what we see is the fruit of the gospel, the word of God, and the spirit of God transforming people. And I want to remind you, that same Holy Spirit in verse 21, it's the same Holy Spirit who's in us. That hasn't changed. It's the same Holy Spirit. And then we have to ask ourselves, okay, but am I bearing forth a life that shows the gospel changing me? Think of our culture today, because there are idols still that are relevant that are there today. If you're sold out for the Lord, it may mean that money that was once spent on alcohol, perhaps on drugs, perhaps on whatever the substance du jour was, suddenly now that's not taking place anymore. Perhaps there's gluttony that you had. No, we avoid talking about gluttony, but gluttony is still a real thing that needs to be addressed. Perhaps there's gluttony where suddenly, you know, you were spending all the money on Mickey D's and suddenly you're realizing, you know, my body is a temple of the Lord God Almighty. Maybe I'll give them a little less money and try to steward what the Lord's given me a little bit better. Perhaps there's a shift with media. How many of these subscriptions you're paying for a month? I got Netflix, I got Hulu, I got this one, I got that one. I don't need all this. This is taking time from reading the Word of God. Cancel, 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 cancel. Suddenly certain things change. What Demetrius is observing is something that culture should still be observing today if Christians are living sold out for the Lord God Almighty. Communities should still see when the hand of God moves in a community and there's so many people coming to know the Lord, there should be some shifts taking place where it's like, whoa, that abortion clinic, no one's going there anymore. What is going on? They're not able to pay the people anymore. ABC, no one's going to ABC. There's people standing outside of ABC giving some little thing that says ABC's a salvation. And then more people aren't going in. The gospel transforms individuals. And as the gospel transforms individuals, the individuals change the culture around them. But look at our culture today, saints. I think we have too many children of God who seek to look like the world. It's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's just one drink. I can control it. They only curse a few times in the movie. It's not that big of a deal. Get over it. You're such a prude. Spirit of God dwells in you. Does your life actually reflect living the way? Are folks where you are, you know, my prayer, it's like, whew, these Chapel Hill people, these Calvary Chapel Hill people are changing the triangle. Yeah, we are. Let's go. We're not doing anything, but we're telling people about Jesus, and he's changing them. That's the prayer. That's what we should see. Now, when they heard this, verse 28, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go in to the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. So Demetrius succeeds. He gets the stirring of enough people, and that's what takes place. Those different protest pictures that we went through, and there's protests that take place on both sides, okay? When these protests go down, you've got someone getting it together, and then you got everybody getting rabble-roused, and it's, and then they start going, and you can watch it. As a former school administrator, I used to love watching sometimes how it would go down within student bodies, and that, this is when I would think of E.E. Schottschneider, Semi-Sovereign People, and the scope of conflict that takes place, and watch how there's a conflict. A and B, and then different sides are going, and then different folks engage. And then as you go through, you got some folks who are there, from the river to the sea. What river and sea? I don't know, but from the river to the sea. You acting fool. They don't even know. But they're engaging, they're going, because mob mentality has succeeded. And notice here, our text reveals how mob mentality works. Look at this. The whole city was filled with what? Are y'all awake? Are you reading? The whole city was filled with?
Confusion.
Confusion comes and takes over. And as confusion comes, so they don't know what they're doing, and then they don't slow down, it's confusion, and then they rush into the theater with one accord. Go back to when we started the journey of Acts. How does a church grow for the glory of God? With one accord. Your one accord, your with one accord has no gray. Your with one accord is either for the glory of God or for the works of Satan. That's it. That's it. And for the child of God, there's times where, yes, we're his, but actually the way we're living, we're not in one accord for the Lord. We're in one accord for the enemy. And that's where we live a life of repentance. We do that. But you got to be willing to acknowledge it's one or the other. And here we see the result of one accord, that duality rushing to that. What are you rushing towards? What's your rush to? What are you in one accord to? Because the confusion settles in, and where the word of God is not the anchor, confusion runs rampant. And what's interesting here, the companions, they take two of the companions. Paul, we see in verse 30, look, wanted to go into the people, but the disciples would not allow him. There's a sovereign protection, but we see the reality of Paul's heart. Doesn't change. This is chaos ensuing, and Paul's like, it's a chance to talk about Jesus. It's a chance to tell them. And in sovereign protection at this moment, the Lord is ordaining, because we're going to see what takes place as the city clerk then comes up to speak. It's like, this isn't the time right now. And we need to, in the Spirit of God, be sensitive to that also. Because there's sometimes, yes, to go and engage, and there's sometimes to just, Lord, what are you going to do right now? And to pray. And to trust he's in control. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he wouldn't venture into the theater. Then look, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. And that's a hard reality of mob mentality. People show up. People are there. They don't really know why. You know, one of my favorite things when 2020 was going on, and it was a wild thing when George Floyd went down and the Black Lives Matter movement's moving, I would just go out. I'm just going to go get gas. I'm so sorry for you. How are you doing? What do you mean, how am I doing? I'm fine. I'm getting gas. This must be a really hard time. Do you feel safe? Yes. Why should I not feel safe? Everyone's trying to kill your people. This is a true story. And I'm like, no. I believe there's one race, human. And I talked about Genesis. And I stretched, and it just was looking at me, just so confused. I said, well, let me ask you this. Why are you so invested in this? What does it mean to you? Well, I just think it's important. Okay, but why is it important? What are the tenets of Black Lives Matter statement of beliefs or their core values that matters to you? Help me understand. Well, I couldn't give me an answer. And then I said, well, what matters to me is Jesus. And we're divided right now. And if you take a chance to meet my Savior, I'll tell you this, we'd be united. And you wouldn't have to ask me if I'm safe, because you'd realize the eternal security that I have, you now have. We're good to go no matter what goes down. And then quickly got in the car and thought I was a little kooky, but that's okay. Many people think I'm kooky. But at the end of the day, confusion runs rampant. People side with things and they don't really know why. Then we go to the other side. Because I don't want you to think it's just thinking BLM this. You got people with the red MAGA hats. And you know, we prayed for the election. We prayed because we wanted to make sure that this country had somebody in office who would support the word of God. We stood by that, period. But you got folks there who don't know really why they're there. It's just, well, America, America. But what about that matters to you? America, America. Good. You can say our country. Tomorrow we'll work on colors. What about it actually matters to you? What are the tenets that mean something to you? What are you hoping for the glory of God for our country? I bring this up because children of God, we stand for biblical truth. God is not the author of confusion. Mob mentality anchors in, what did we see twice now? Confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but the word of God, the way, the truth, and the life gives absolute truth. Philippians reminds us our citizenship is where? Heaven. This is temporary. We are to steward it, but don't get lost on either side. Get lost in the word of God. And get lost in telling people about Jesus. Because notice what took place here. It wasn't trying to get into a battle. Paul, as we're going to read the rest of this text, you don't see at any point Paul going forth and trying to change them or trying to get into. It's just, he preaches Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts. Holy Spirit indwells. Holy Spirit overtakes. As Holy Spirit overtakes, overcoming sin takes place. Overcoming sin means priorities shift, means idols go away, means cultures change, means those who don't like Jesus not happy. That's how you sum it up simply. So we have to anchor in the word. We have to anchor and hold to the word alone. Verse 33. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And we want to say that bias towards the Jewish people doesn't exist. But when they found out he was a Jew, "Great is Diana!" They go there, they go against mob mentality. And Alexander's coming forth at the time because that dude's trying to be like, "Listen, we're not with that, okay, you don't want to hear anything I have to say," because it's only about what they're going for. It's only about the buzz phrase that they have, their tagline. "Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Imagine me saying that for 2 hours nonstop. It's 11:17, so that means you're going to sit here till 1:17, and I'm going to keep saying that. But you know how mob mentality works? If I didn't jest about it, but if I'm saying it with conviction and purpose and meaning, some of y'all would start saying it, and then more. And then suddenly mob mentality is going, and it's 2 hours of battling, of shouting. What does the 2-hour shout fest look like today? Well, I think it often looks like a thumb war. Social media. Oh, look what they posted. It just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And who's going to retweet this? And who's going to follow me? And who's going to do that? And we just get lost in this battle, confused, not really knowing what we're standing for. And the issue here isn't an issue about doctrine or getting into some weighty, heavy things. It's a very simple issue. And it's an issue that hits the heart of believers, and it's an issue that's hitting here. Notice I said it hits the heart of believers. Ready for what the issue is? Lordship. When you're unable to surrender to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to hold on to whatever you want to hold on to. Because I'm not listening. Lordship surrender. The people here, they don't like that the Lord God Almighty is King of Kings. They do not want to have to surrender. They do not want to have to give up things for this King. It's about lordship. And guess what, children of God at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill this morning? We got to be real. Some of us also struggle with lordship. Some of us have things we do. Some of us have organizations we're a part of, clubs, hobbies, ventures, pursuits. You name it, you have it. And if we get to it, the Word of God can clearly say, that's a no-go. And then we can clearly say, well, you know, I know my heart before the Lord. I don't care if you know your heart before the Lord. It's sin by the Word of God. Or a brother has that, well, you know, I trust their walk with the Lord. That's a good brother. Okay. So God isn't sovereign and reigning over all. That's what you say when you say that. Sin is sin, period. We don't get to selectively decide what sin is based on our emotions or based on our own within Christian churches, popular opinion, mini mobs, where it's kind of like a little, well, it's not that bad. Sin is sin is sin. We all need to surrender to Jesus as Lord. Can we get that? Can we agree on that? And what's beautiful is when we look at this phrase here that they're shouting, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Think of the investment they have in this. The investment in Diana. The investment in Ephesus. One little pillar's left. But the investment on the other side, we're part of the fruit of that investment in the gospel. How cool is that? How cool is that? We are part of that same fruit. Verse 35. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, so now the civil authority comes forth, quiets the crowd. He said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and the image which fell down from Zeus? The city clerk comes to kind of be like, settle down, listen, it's all known, it's all good. Why are you panicking? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. And starts with the quiet, because culturally at this time, Ephesus is free under Roman law. But Rome likes things in order. Rome, you know, at the time, they're like the Long Island, knock it off. They like it in order. And guess what? If it gets out of order, they're going to lose their freedom that they have to be able to kind of do and rule as they are. And then Rome is going to impose things. So the city clerk's like, let's not go down this route. For you've brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. And that's our faithful Lord right there. This civil servant, this civil authority person, sees the integrity of Paul, the integrity of the one that's going forth. It's like, listen, this dude, he's not robbing the temple. He's never blasphemed Diana, because guess what? All Paul does is simply preach what? Jesus. Saints, get that lesson. I think we all need to go back, just preach Jesus. Just give them Jesus. I sang it Friday. Somebody arranged for me to sing, tell you about my Jesus at Dan River. I was in the prisons this Friday. And guess what? That's what we all need to do. Tell them about your Jesus. That's all he did. And then his character spoke for himself. And when the battle comes, when all comes, it spoke for himself. And look what takes place. Then, verse 38, therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Follow the order that needs to be done. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. It's like, we're not doing it like this. Follow the process. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. And interesting, the assembly that's used there is the same assembly that points to the word church. And it just furthers my little reality duality. You're either serving the Lord God Almighty or you're in the church of man. Doing your own thing, running your own way, going after your own things. But the Lord uses the civil authority, the city clerk, to protect Paul. The word keeps going forth. Another little PSA, why we should care about local government, why we should pray for those who are in authority. Just a tiny PSA. But the mob today, media, like I said, the intellectual thumb war, the intellectual mind battle that takes place, mask justice, all of it. When we look at this text, it's a landscape that's never really changed. It's all started in Genesis 3 at the fall. Pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And it's never changed. It gets repackaged in different ways. They maybe now, you know, you can get the banner for your protest printed out or you have fancier markers, whatever you want to do, but it hasn't changed much. And what hasn't changed is it's the same Holy Spirit. It's a filling of the Holy Spirit, as we saw in the beginning of this chapter. And that filling leads us to radical repentance. And then as we walk in that radical repentance, we then purpose in the Spirit. And then we anchor in the Word of God, the law of the Lord, because God's not the author of confusion. They chanted, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." We can chant, "Great is our God of eternity." Our chant's stronger. And the one that we're standing for is way more than just a little pillar with some rubble around it. Way more. So brothers and sisters, as we reflect on this text this week, notice, yes, there's mob mentality. It's going to come. Also be mindful to notice the move of the Spirit takes place. And as we've seen throughout Acts, God is moving. The enemy is going to try to come destroy it. We can't be surprised with that. But as I pray and pray for us, the biggest piece the Lord just keeps reminding is look at what Paul stuck to. Preaching Jesus Christ. As we go through this week ahead, as you reflect on this text, simply preach Jesus. Simply preach Jesus in your thoughts. Simply preach Jesus in your word. Simply preach Jesus in your action. Simply preach Jesus. Thought, word, action. Because the mobs are still going. And I love Benjamin Franklin has something he says on the mobs, that they're basically monsters but no brains. You know, and it's still there. It's still the same thing that we see. And in it, our hearts should break because we want everyone to know Jesus. So don't get lost in the chaos, because God's not the author of confusion, and we have the truth. We know the way, the truth, and the life. So surrender, live for him, and simply preach Jesus. So for the week ahead, every one of you who's here, tell somebody about Jesus. And then after you do that, go tell somebody else about Jesus. And then after you do that, go tell somebody else about Jesus. And just simply preach Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for such a timely reminder, Lord, as we're amidst a culture, Lord, and with media that so quickly espouses so much information. And Lord, there is so much confusion, and the world is so dark. Yet, Lord, the light of our King shines forth. Lord, as we're going to get to in a few weeks with Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. Father, help us to walk step by step with your word. And Lord, help us to be men and women who don't get lost in the mob, who don't get lost in the confusion, but who shine forth the light of Jesus. Father, we see the witness from Paul, and we see how that city clerk was able to just speak forth the things he saw of Paul's character. And Lord, I pray with pending persecution on the bride of Christ in this country, that when the time would come for my brothers and sisters, for me, that folks would see. And on the account, they wouldn't see emotion, they wouldn't see chaos, they wouldn't see confusion, but they would just say, they just always talked about Jesus. Help us to preach the Lord Jesus Christ in what we think and what we say and how we live. That names would be added to the book of life, and that the power of the word with the Spirit of God and the convictions of God and the empowerment of the Spirit of God would have its way, and our culture would be changed for your glory. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus, and I pray be with them this week. Give them travel mercies from this place, Lord, and be with us when we gather again this night to lift up prayers as you lead. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a blessed afternoon.